Oh, thank you, John. Taste and see. Amen. If you've never been to the Lord's table with him, I encourage you that you come and taste. Hallelujah. Take your Bible. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. When you read Deuteronomy last, well, let me tell you, it is a marvelous, marvelous read. I've spent, you know, on your phone, you go to that Bible app, and if you'll hit that little microphone, it'll read the Bible to you. And so this week, I've just been reading Deuteronomy over and over. I just punch that in where I'm going. I just listen. Moses, this is his last word to the children of Israel. One man I read said that Deuteronomy may well be the constitution for the theocracy of Israel once they entered into the promised land. Deuteronomy means the second law. It's the second giving of the Ten Commandments and the law of God given by the great lawgiver, Moses. Even though he didn't enter in, they went with these words that he offered. It is simply a phenomenal book when you begin to dig into it. He speaks of the people coming out of what he called the iron furnace of Egypt. We came out of the iron furnace, and God's led us through these wilderness wanderings, and now he's about to take us in. It is just glorious. But in chapter 8, he comes to that time of remembering. And that's where we are this day, of remembering how God has led us. For 125 years, God has led us, a people called Olive. We've had 24 pastors in these 125 years. God has led us. Our first pastor, Brother Lowry, came from up in Canoe, Alabama, rode 8 hours one way every weekend on a mule. Preached the gospel, got on that mule, and went back. Some historians that are in that Canoe area that we've interviewed said that there were times they came in a horse and buggy, and that the preachers, the two of them that would come, would go to sleep because the horse knew how to get to Pensacola. And on the way back, they'd be able to sleep in that buggy or take them home. And amen. I know people that sleep when they drive now. And well, God's led us every step of the way, starting with 12 people, just planting a small church in this community here at Ferry Pass. And how God has, we must never forget how God has led us. Because if we forget where we're from, we'll forget where we're going. We must never forget. And Moses makes that abundantly clear. So I invite you to take your Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Those of you on the Warrington campus today, Deuteronomy chapter 8. And for those of you that are on the Warrington campus, pastor's wearing the birthday shirt for today. I walked in, mother is in this service. She's always here at the early service. She looked at me and she saw me this morning. She said, "You're not preaching today?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She just kind of looked me up and down. That's all she ever said. So my grandchildren came in this morning and said, "Papa, you're not preaching today?" Every generation. Well, I am. All right. It's not what's on the outside, what's on the inside. It makes all the difference. Amen. So just wearing this and encouraging you to be a part of the great birthday celebration this month here at a place called Olive. Moses says, Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse number 1. "All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these
40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you shall eat food without scarcity, in which you shall not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given to you. Beware, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes which I am commanding you today. Beware, lest you forget. Skip on over to verse 19 of this text, and he said, it shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish. You want to know why churches die today? They forget the Lord their God. They move away. And they do something, oh, they may name the name, they may still sing the songs, they may still read the book, but they forget who God is. They don't humble themselves and find the power of God, and churches die because of that. Families die, people die, relationships die when we forget the Lord our God. We dare not at Olive Baptist Church forget what God did 125 years ago in Canoe, Alabama, coming to Ferry Pass. We never must forget his wise and gracious dealings with us. We must never forget his marvelous interventions for us. We must never forget the serious lessons that he has and is teaching us today. Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years. And God led them all the way. It was a wilderness wandering. It was not always good days. But God led them. For 125 years, this church has been walking and God has been leading. Not every year, not every day, not every decade is a good one. But God has led us nonetheless. And he's taken us as we will listen to him. And he leads us where he would have us go. How does God lead his people? How does God lead you? How does God lead us collectively as a church? Number one, God leads with a purpose. He always has a purpose when he's leading us. That purpose, look in verse number two. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. How and why did he lead us? He led us that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. God has a purpose. What is his purpose among us? His purpose is twofold. Number one, he is here to develop humility. Develop humility among his people. He would never want us to get haughty, to think we are something when we are nothing. He wants to humble us, and he must develop that humility. Look down in verse 11. You've got your Bible open right there with me. Just listen to 11 through 14. He said, beware, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, if you forget, when you've eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Listen to me, church. Just because you become the largest church in Northwest Florida, if you forget God, you'll perish. When your budget is larger than it's ever been in its history, if you forget God, you'll perish. When you build magnificent buildings, if you forget God, you'll perish. We dare never forget. What he wants to teach us is, even though in all the blessings, beware of the danger of arrogance that causes God to vomit us out. You exalt yourself, Jesus said you'll be brought low. If you humble yourself, Jesus said in due time you'll be exalted. You've heard me say it hundreds of times, peacock today, feather duster tomorrow. You begin to think you're something when you're nothing. Great will be. His purpose is that we would walk as an humble people. That's why there's an altar here. It's why you ought to come and get on your knees from time to time. It's why you ought to humble yourself every morning of your life. It's why we as a church ought to humble ourselves before God. He leads us with a purpose, and that first purpose is humility, but his second purpose is obedience. Notice in verse number 2, not only that he might humble you, but he might test you so that he would know what was in your heart. Verse 5 says, like the Father disciplines the Son, so the Heavenly Father disciplines us that he might bring us to obedience. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 15, if you love me, you will obey me. You will keep my commandments. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, the Bible says, Samuel is speaking, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? That's a question. No, behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. God had rather you be obedient as give a large offering. He's not looking for your sacrifice. He's looking for you to obey, to do what God called you to do. The purpose, the way God leads us in this purpose, is that we are broken in humility and that we are walking in obedience. Let me ask you, dear friend, have you gotten over who you are? This church has heard enough from you. This church doesn't need me. It doesn't need you. What this church needs is for me to die to myself so Jesus can live through me. Problem we have are good men, good women. Goodness is not enough. God's looking for brokenness so there can be godliness, so there can be holiness. His purpose is to lead us to humility and obedience. Listen to this video clip from our former pastor as he shares with us just a word about this.
Well, I came to Olive in 1972. But we had the buildings and we had the people, really. We had over 400 people that were attending. And so when they called me, there I was. Clyde kept on leading the music and I started preaching. And that was the beginning point. And so after we got started, I began knocking on doors and Gary was doing his work. And we had a lot of folks coming to know the Lord other than just through the staff members. They were out telling people about the Lord. And so consequently, we were able to see the growth of the church. And I'm just like, as an old preacher now, just want to challenge you to be found faithful to your Lord. Be a part of this church, not just as a tender, but one who's involved. And accept the challenge that God's Spirit gives to you and give your heart and life to build in the kingdom of God through the church he's led you to here at Olive Baptist Church. That's what we're all about. And you want to be involved so that your children will have something to build on the foundation that you laid. And I believe you'll do that.
There'll be more of Dr. Passmore's interview online, and we'll use other clips of it in days to come. But did you hear what he said about building that foundation? Why? So you would obey and you would be used of God, not just to come and sit, but to go and tell and to do the work that God's called you to do. That's God's purpose in leading us together. It is for humility and obedience together that we might do what God has called us to do. He leads us. He leads us with a purpose. Secondly, He leads us with provision. With provision. Look in verses 3 and 4. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus quoted that in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Amen. God's provision. He gave manna. Manna is one of the great words in Hebrew. It literally means, the word manna in Hebrew literally means, what is it? When they saw that white stuff on the ground, they went out and looked at it and they said, manna. What is it? What is it? They ate it for 40 years. Went out and gathered it 6 days a week. God provided. And God was teaching them that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God provides for us. Not only does He provide manna, your clothes didn't wear out. I remember when we got ready to build this building, God began to deal with us about making commitments. My wife told me, she said, we need to go to this level of commitment. I said, you know, if we do that, you're going to have to drive that same car for about 5 more years. And it is wore out. She said, I understand. The engine went out in that car during that time. And a family in this church put an engine in her car for her. They didn't charge her anything. They took care of her vehicle. I'm just telling you, friend, when you obey God, you can trust God. He will provide the way. He'll provide the way. This is not a message about God making you rich. This is a message about God taking care of you. He provides. Where He leads, He provides. The clothes didn't wear out. I remember we built a building in Texas. My wife and I were praying. She said, well, if we do this, you know, we can't do so-and-so at the house. We had somebody come and gave us that particular item for the home. Unbeknown to them and us. It was just God's provision. Well, I wonder how in the world we ever pay for this bill. That's God's provision. God provides and leads. And then it said, physically He provides you. Your feet didn't swell up. You walked 40 years. And let me tell you, friend, they didn't have Nikes on their feet either. Said your foot didn't swell. Why, how'd they make it? I'm telling you, they made it by the provision of Almighty God. John 6, 33, 34, 35, where the Word of God says, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to Him, Lord, always give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I'm the bread of life, and he who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never, ever thirst. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the provision that you
need. You read in this chapter 8 and go to verse 15 and you see where he brought water out of a flinty rock. He led you through the great and terrible witness with his fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, and he brought water for you out of the rock of flint. He took a rock and brought water out. I'm telling you, that's the provision of Almighty God. We've walked through hurricanes here before. God provided. I'm standing on miracle ground. There is no way in the world Olive Baptist Church should have been able to buy the property this building is sitting on. 30 years ago, we were over here in Passmore Hall, and there were 25 acres right here behind this church. There was a leading doctor in this city who wanted to buy this property. He had offered to buy this property. He was going to buy this property. And God said, nope. I believe he built a sovereign fence around it. And while I believe the Spirit of God led me to come be the pastor here, I'm going to tell you the most impressive thing I knew about Olive Baptist Church was in the interim between Dr. Passmore and myself, the lay leadership of this church purchased the 25 acres that we are sitting and standing on today. The lay people did that. They paid $625,000 for the acreage. And they did it in the interim without a pastor, and they went forward and they bought the property. And I came the first Wednesday night I was here. We had a business meeting over in Passmore Hall, and they all raised their hand and voted to buy this property. We went into debt $625,000. I'd been here 3 days, and the church borrowed $625,000, and I got blame and credit. I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm telling the lay leadership. How in the world did that? Number one, God put his hand over this property. God then provided the way for us to pay for the property and then to come and build this building. I'm here to tell you that God provides for his people, and he leads with provision. And friend, if you'll follow him, he'll provide for you. And if this church will continue to follow him, he'll provide for us. He leads with provision. We've seen it over and over and over and over and over again. Watch this video from one of our sweet ladies in this church who is now a widow in our family. I want you to listen to Miss Joyce as she shares a word about the provision of God.
My first memories of Olive was when, as I said, when I was a little girl at 7 years old, my family moved to Pensacola. And I remember when we started talking about building another building, we had outgrown that building. Even they wanted the children to feel that they were a part of it, the building. And the men of the church, for the most part, did all the construction on it. It was a white block building. And they would come up on Saturdays and work all day. And the women of the church would bring their dinner, as we called it then, in the middle of the day. They would bring a meal and feed the workers. Get involved. That's the main thing. You can't just go on Sunday morning and be there for the worship service. That's great and it's wonderful, and Brother Ted is an awesome pastor and preacher and sticks to the word. Clyde and I were married there in 57. He passed in 2017. We were married for 60 years, but our life is Olive Baptist Church. And it's, and as I said before, it's not the building, it's the people.
Not the building, it's the people of God. That's who it is. And I'm telling you, the provision of God comes time after time after time. Miss Joyce, thanks for sharing with us. I was in a meeting last Monday night. There was a sweet girl here from Africa, and we had dinner, and there was a neighbor that came, and one of our ladies came over to me, and she pointed at me, and she whispered in my ear, she said, "Who does that man look like?" And I said, "Well, I'm not sure. Who do you?" She said, "That man looks like Clyde Pearson to me." I got Clyde Parazine, I'm sorry. And she looked at me, and I laughed back at her. I said, "God wouldn't do that. He wouldn't send him back here to do that."
It'd be a good thing if he did, wouldn't it? I love you, sweet lady. Oh, what a great couple. They've watched the provisional hand of God for years in this church. Provide over there and here, and walking through humility and obedience and seeing the provision of God. Again and again, we've watched God provide over and over. You've heard me tell the story of the Corners building out here that I'm asking you to help me give so we can renovate it. Everybody in this church that's ever led anything in this church has tried to buy that building out there. Everybody. And until the owner died, we couldn't buy it. And then, bang, it came. We had a long-term lease, and we've been praying that we'd be able to work that lease where we could get in, but we didn't want to pay out of it. Then the renter came to us and said, you know, we've been thinking about moving. Is there any way you could discuss that lease with us? We said, well, you know, we don't know if we really want to do that or not. It's the professional hand of God. It's good for them, good for us. I'm telling you, friend, when you follow God's lead, just get ready, He will provide. You ask our friends down at Warrington if they follow the lead of God, if God will provide. It is amazing what God's doing on that second. That 254 people down there last week, Mike led another naval officer to the Lord this week. I got three to baptize in 2 weeks that are going to be coming. Got a young family that's planning to join out there that grew up in our church here, was raised here as young. Now he's come back and is in the military and joining down there, planning to today. I'm telling you, the provision of God is in that place. Why? Because they've walked in obedience and gathered with us in humility enough to say, come over and help us. And we went over to help them. And it was not our help, but God's help that gets it done. God leads us. He leads us with purpose. He leads us with provision. Trust Him, church. I'm here to tell you He'll do it. Every step of the way. But not only does God lead with purpose and provision, thirdly, He leads, and I don't miss it, He leads with promise. He leads with promise. All the promises of Almighty God. Look in verse number 7, where Moses said, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills with wheat and barley of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where, and he goes on and he talks about the promised land. He talks about Canaan. Now, friend, get it in your head. Canaan is not a picture of heaven. Canaan is a picture of the Spirit-filled life. It's the abundant life and the power of the Holy Ghost. That's God's promise. When you get saved, He gives a promise. It comes. He promised that land to the Jews, and they are in that land even today. The same promise, promising God that made good on His word to the Israelites, is the same God that makes promises to us today. He said, this is my church and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. That's a promise. You can take it to the bank. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, one of the most misunderstood promises in all of the Word of God. Look at this. I want you to get it now. Don't get this crooked. You already got it crooked in your head. Just as written, things which I have not seen and ears not heard, and that which is not entered into the heart of man, that all that God has prepared for those that love Him. Most people put a period right there and say, oh, glory, that's heaven. Has nothing to do with heaven. Look at verse number 10. The very next verse said, for to us God revealed them. What is them? What's the word them? It goes back to verse number 9. Things that I have not seen, things that ears not heard. Those things God's revealed to us. How? Through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. The Spirit of God. He puts that in you. And friend, if you're a Baptist today not full of the Holy Ghost, repent and get right with God. Shout unto Him. Say, oh God, fill me, fill me. I stood over in my office this morning. I said, God, I'm going to preach on this. I start my day like this. I've shared it with you. I start my hands up praising God and saying, Lord, thank you for all the good things you've done. Then put my hands right out like this and say, Lord, I die to myself, dead to Ted. I
come to be crucified with Christ, and then I say, oh, Spirit of God, oh, come, fill me, anoint me, oh, unction of God, come on me, for not just for the preaching of a Sunday, but for the living of a Monday. And that the Spirit of God would show me. It was the summer of 1990. I walked the streets of Garland, Rowlett, Texas, praying. The search committee had talked to me here. I'd gotten that third call, and I told Liz, I said, we just can't mess up our life or that church. I loved where I was and didn't want to move. You know, you don't always have to like it for it to be the will of God. Amen? You really don't. I told Liz, I said, I wonder, what do you think? We were lying in bed one night. It was a late Sunday. I said, honey, what would we do if that church called us again? Ring. I'm telling you, it was that quick. I picked up the phone. And they said, Pastor, we just wondered if you'd talk to us one more time. I've been walking those streets late at night. I tell you what I'd do. At the corner of Ruffles Lane, there was a street light and a sewer lid where all that water would run in. And I'd go sit on that sewer with my Bible. And I'd say, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I'd just say, oh, God. And finally I came to the 41st chapter of Isaiah. And God opened a roll call of promises in my life and said, all right, I'm sending you to Pensacola, Florida, and I'm going to do. And I began to enumerate. I've got them listed here. If you go to my office this morning, there's another pulpit just like this. It's one I had built in Texas, and we built one here just like it. I have this same pulpit that came from Texas, man brought it to me. I have that pulpit there, and I have a large Bible, and it's open to Isaiah 41, and it's underlined those promises. I just keep it open right there on that top of that pulpit. If you got your Bible, go to Isaiah 41. I want to show you one more promise that God's just opened for. I knew it was coming. I just didn't know how to do it. When he talked about God's going to meet the needs of the poor. We've seen that with Ministry Village. I didn't know how some of this stuff's going to work out. He just kept saying to me, you're going to be a worm, and I'm going to take care of you. Yeah, people say the hand of the Lord has done this. And when I got over to verse 28, I underlined where it says, but when I look, there is no one, there is no counselor among them. I wrote down counseling ministry. It's been 29 years. We're going to open the counseling ministry on the 15th day of this month. I've been waiting for 10 years for the person that I believe was the leader to do that, and that person came to me, and they've moved in this week, and we're going to put that thing in full operational mode. We're going to dedicate it on Sunday night, 15 September, where God had given me this promise. There was going to come. Oh, there's been a lot of counseling going on here in a lot of different ways, but this ministry is going to bring that to full flower. What I'm telling you, friend, is that God makes promises to His people, and if you will listen to God, He'll make some promises to you. And He never backs up. Huey Pearson, listen to this video where Huey talks about the faithfulness of our great God.
1958, along with my mom and my dad and my five brothers and sisters, we moved out to Ferry Pass. We began attending Olive Baptist Church, and Jeff Russo was our pastor. My dad had been admitted to Baptist Hospital here in Pensacola with a recurring injury from military years. That's when life got really hard for our family, not just my brothers and sisters, but also my mother. And she didn't ever talk about that very much, but hard would be an easy word to say. It was very, very difficult. That's when Olive Baptist Church stepped in to help our family. They brought us food. They paid some bills and did some things we didn't know about as the children of the family. But you know, it wasn't until I was an adult that I began to understand the impact and the difference that Olive Baptist Church made in our lives. The people of Olive Baptist Church shared the gospel with all my brothers and sisters and myself, and we came to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, as children, make sure that you share the gospel when you show compassion.
What a powerful story Huey's is. The reason he's sitting in the kitchen is because his testimony is this church fed our family out the back door of the kitchen. He's told me, he said, we starved to death. They hadn't fed us out the back door of the kitchen. And then he came to work for us feeding people out the back door of the kitchen. What I'm telling you is God's promise. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's never promised you're going to live in the biggest house on the hill. You may or you may not. But He's promised He will never forsake you. He never gives up on you. He never releases you to your own well-being unless you turn your back on Him. God's promises are faithful and true. You heard Huey. How this church led his family to faith in Christ. That's what this old church has been built on for all these years, is the gospel. The gospel says that we're all sinners. I don't mean we just messed up a little bit. I mean we are ruined, rank, rotten sinners. You, this preacher, everybody in here. Friend, you've broken every one of the Ten Commandments. You've gone away from the law. You're not gone toward God. And God saw you while you were yet sinners, and Christ died for you. And He sent Jesus for you. And if you trust Him, I'm telling you, He'll save you. And after He saves you, then He gives you promises. I was reading this week. I came across an old story about a man had been in the church years ago. It was back in Depression days. Said the tax assessor came by his house. And he said, I'm going to audit your family. And he said, I need to know about your possessions, what property you possess. And the poverty-stricken Christian layman said to the auditor, I am a very wealthy man. He said, well, you need to list all of your possessions for me. And he said, let me make a list. First, I have everlasting life, according to John 3:16. Second, I have a mansion in heaven, according to John 14:2. Third, I have a peace that passes all worldly understanding, according to Philippians 4 and verse number 7. Fourth, I have a divine love that never fails, according to 1 Corinthians 13:8. Fifth, I have joy that is unspeakable, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Sixth, I have a faithful wife, according to Proverbs 31:10. Seventhly, I have healthy and happy, obedient children, according to Exodus 20 and verse number 12. Eight, I have a true and loyal, I have many true and loyal friends, according to Proverbs 18 and 24. Ninth, I have songs in the night, according to Psalm 42 and verse 8. He said, tenth, I have the crown of life that will one day be placed on my head, according to James chapter 1 and verse 2. Eleventh, I have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who supplies all of my needs, according to Philippians 4 and verse number 19. And the auditor closed his book and said, you indeed are a very rich man, but that you possess is not subject to earthly taxation. He is our great God. We must never forget where He has brought us from, so that we can know where He wants to take us to.